From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. It's a worthy sequel to two other great DVDs, Metamorphosis and Flight. It provides an awe-inspiring, an uplifting, a powerful apologetic tool to reveal the Creator's purpose and His design, a purpose and design that pervades life on the planet. We're going to be talking about that a little in this first segment today, the pervasion of this throughout life on the planet, and particularly when it comes to the living waters that cover 70% of our planet. But I want to start out by just a couple of comments about intelligent design, because we're going to be talking to a premier intelligent design theorist in just a few moments. Richard Dawkins, who is well known as professor of the public understanding of science at Oxford, and arguably the best known Darwinist on the planet, claims that those who do not believe in evolution are, well, his words, ignorant, stupid. He even uses the word insane. And I would say today you're going to discover that in place of rhetoric and emotional stereotyping, intelligent design theorists or proponents hold to reason and empirical science. In other words, they're willing to follow scientific evidence wherever it leads them, and in that capacity, this movement, the ID movement, rightly practices open-minded science. And again, we are pleased to have on the broadcast a man who is well known as an ID proponent. His name is Dr. Paul Nelson, and he was very, very involved in the series that I just talked about, and certainly well involved in Living Waters. Great to have you back on the broadcast.
Always a treat, Hank, always.
Talk about intelligent design. I mean, you have so many people saying that this is a science stopper. Indeed, it is just the opposite.
Intelligent design actually opens up whole areas of discovery that you would not have access to if you didn't allow for that possibility. So here's a simple metaphor for your listeners. Imagine that you're a police detective on a planet where you're only allowed to infer so-called natural causes like illness or accident. And you're called to the scene of a death, and there the body is on the floor. It's got a bullet hole in the back. And you're standing there with your colleagues, and you say, all right, we've got to find some natural explanation for this, even though it looks for all the world like someone shot the guy in the back. Now imagine that same detective, given the range of a greater range of explanatory options, including intelligent action. Someone took a gun and shot the guy. He has a greater range of possible explanations, and therefore more explanatory power given what he might confront. Now, he might be called to a scene and the body's there, and you know, he looks at the evidence and he says the guy had a heart attack. No one killed him, natural cause. We want the greatest range of possible causes, so that if there's a natural cause, that is a cause that doesn't involve a mind, we can consider that. On the other hand, if there's evidence that indicates that an intelligence acted, science should be free to pursue that. So we're advocating a greater range of explanatory options because we think the evidence indicates that.
And what Living Waters is at its core, I think, is a cinematic odyssey that challenges scientific naturalism, not just in prose, but in pictures. In other words, you see it. And I guess the adage that a picture is worth a thousand words really applies to this film.
You know, years ago, a molecular biologist at the University of Chicago, a friend of mine, I won't mention his name because this was a private conversation, but he's a well-known evolutionary theorist, he told me, he said, what you guys need to do, meaning the intelligent design group, is just get out of the way of the evidence. In other words, he's not a Darwinian. He's an evolutionist, but he's not a Darwinian. He said, the evidence itself is so powerful, just show people. You don't even have to make an argument. Just show them how living things actually work, and that will do the job for you. And he's right. You know, God made a world where you don't need a PhD to understand that he was our creator. He made a world where that evidence would testify to his role, to his presence, to his authorship, if you give it half a chance. So I really do have the conviction, and I've seen this over and over in 30 years of working in this area, that if you show people how living things actually operate, that does the persuasive work for you. So I love the aspect of the film where you just sit down and watch it and you see how whales and dolphins and sea turtles and salmon actually function. You hardly even need to make an argument at that point.
Talking to Dr. Paul Nelson, Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can access your copy or copies on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. One of the great features of this film is the humpback whale. And I'd like to explore something with you on air, and that is the notion that unguided, purposeless processes could transform the ears of a land-dwelling, freshwater, hippo-like animal into the echolocation system of a sea-dwelling, saltwater whale, and that, as it's postulated, in a mere matter of 10 million years, that has to take a tremendous amount of Darwinian devotion.
It does. Let me just make one correction to what you said. Humpbacks are baleen whales. They're filter feeders, and they actually don't have echolocation. The echolocation featured in the film is possessed by dolphins. Mm. I just wanted to make that clarification. But let's address the point you just raised. The window of time available in paleontology, in standard geological dating, for this transformation to occur is less than 10 million years. Hans de Wissen, who's the leading evolutionary expert on this transition, says it probably happened in less than 8. So we're talking about a fairly short interval in geological time when all of these changes have to take place. And when you look at echolocation as it's functioning in dolphins, for instance, it's a multi-component system. So they have to be able to produce the sound, which is done by a very specialized apparatus. Project it out, actually they focus it using the melon on their forehead, this big organ present there. They focus the sound depending on the distance to the target. Then the echoes are coming back and have to be received, and they're actually not received by the ear. They're received by a complex apparatus in the jaw, in the lower jaw, and then transmitted to the brain. And this whole system has to function very tightly to work at all. So that's got to be built, and that's got to be built in very short order in evolutionary time by random processes. And let me say something about the randomness element. That's not something that comes to us from nature. That's a requirement that Darwinians make of the evidence, because if it's not random, it's going to be directed. And if it's directed, it's very likely directed by an intelligence. So they insist on randomness for philosophical reasons, but there's a price. If you insist on randomness, you have to pay the price of that, meaning these mutations are occurring very slowly, these populations are small, and you're going to be waiting a long time. So in the movie, we actually illustrate this with a one-armed bandit, you know, a slot machine like you'd see in Vegas or Atlantic City. And the reason that I don't go into casinos is chances are you come in with $1,000, you play long enough, the casino will have all your money and you will have none. That's how those machines work. And transferring the point to evolution, randomness, in this case, the house advantage is on the side of nothing. You're not going to get any productive outcome. So, in fact, what will happen is you'll simply run out of time. There won't be enough time available for random changes to bring about anything. It's just not feasible. It's not rational, Hank. And I'm so glad you said what you did at the outset about the reasonable view here. The reasonable view, the rational view, the view that the evidence compels leads one to say this transition, if it occurred, did not occur by an undirected Darwinian process. It occurred via intelligence. My own conviction is actually that whales and dolphins have always been whales and dolphins. They were purpose-built for their environment. But even if you allow for some kind of evolutionary transition, that didn't occur by random processes. It had to be carefully guided by an intelligence.
But you bring up transitions. They seem to be scant at best. So belief in the development of blowholes and sonar and diving mechanisms, again, not based on evidence, but based on suppositions.
Suppositions and, frankly, speculation. The fossil evidence really doesn't show us how this happened. And the thing about living in water, salt water, all the time, not just going for a swim on a Sunday afternoon or even part of your life like a seal might spend part of its life in the water and part of its life on land. Whales and dolphins are there 24/7, 365, breeding, feeding, teaching their young, doing everything in salt water all the time, which means that every single system in their biology has got to be specially modified for that. Their kidneys, because they're taking on a lot of salt water. Their reproductive organs. A very interesting segment in the film where we talk about the fact that in male whales and dolphins, their testes are entirely within their body cavity. Every man listening to my voice right now knows where his testes normally reside. They're not within his body cavity. That leads to sterility, because for normal sperm production, that organ has to be outside and cooler than the rest of your body. So what do whales and dolphins do? They refrigerate. They literally refrigerate their testes with a very special system that brings cold blood from their dorsal fin and their tail flukes, circulates it around the testes to keep them cool enough for normal sperm production. You think about the engineering required to bring that about by a random process. It's just never, ever going to happen. So my conviction is, our designer, our creator, could not have made it more obvious. He didn't hide his work. You know, in Romans 1:20, it says, we're without excuse. We are. When we look at these creatures, we have no excuse for attributing them to an undirected natural process, because that's not what happened.
I'm going to hold you over for the next segment, but one quick question before we go to break. When you talk about living waters, you're talking about something that can have a dramatic impact on people who, quite frankly, are being brainwashed. And I mean that in the sense that if you suppress all of the information on one side of a ledger and then present all of the information on the other, that's not education. It seems to me that living waters can be an antidote to that kind of quote-unquote brainwashing.
I agree with you. It's the kind of film that if you can get a friend to sit down and watch it, after an hour, his or her opinion is going to be radically challenged. If they think, oh, evolution's got this explained, there's a chance process that brought us about, that brought about these glorious sea creatures, let them sit and watch this. It's very watchable. They're going to be strongly challenged with another viewpoint.
Talking to Dr. Paul Nelson. He is an adjunct professor in the MA program in Science and Religion at Biola. He's also a fellow of the Discovery Institute specializing in developmental biology and evolution. And for our purposes, he is a primary contributor to Living Waters. In fact, the whole series, Metamorphosis Flight, you will see him prominently featured. And what I appreciate is just the gentleness and respect with which Dr. Paul Nelson communicates. It is modeling to all of us the way in which you engage in these kinds of discussions. This is not about winning arguments. This is about winning people. This is not about demonstrating intellectual acumen. It is about making a difference in the lives of real people, not just for time, but also for eternity. Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans, the Earth, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. You can acquire your copy online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI will be also going to your calls a little later on in the broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically, 888-275-4265. Be back in just a bit.
A dolphin's echolocation system, or biosonar, permits it to detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think this ability arose from blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the dolphin's biosonar and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Alestra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Alestra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. www.marriagesmatter.org. For millions of people today, science has become the sole authoritative arbiter of truth. Yet the problem is generally not the facts of science, but the theoretical presuppositions that relentlessly distort the interpretation of those facts. One source that clears up interpretive distortions of the scientific facts about Earth's underwater realm is Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. This DVD demonstrates how underwater life, including dolphins, whales, and sea turtles, reflects the highest level of purpose and design. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Dr. Paul Nelson. He's adjunct professor of the MA program in science and religion at Biola University, a fellow of the Discovery Institute specializing in developmental biology and evolution, and he's a major contributor to Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. Before we get into some more of the details, Dr. Nelson, I think it's probably well to discuss the purpose behind what we're doing. We can get far afield from this if we don't watch out. I mean, the idea here is to reach people so that they can revel in the majesty of their Creator, not only in time, but for all eternity.
Amen. Last time we spoke, I mentioned that it's my conviction that prior to the formulation of the Bible, Revelation, written, you know, God's written word in the Torah, and then the major and minor prophets, and eventually the New Testament, it was clear that God was in communication and in communion with His creation, with His people. And how was that happening? Well, in general revelation, in the physical world that He made, God testifies to His own existence. We see this in the Psalms, in Psalm 19, and in the book of Isaiah, as it's recorded in Scripture. But it's clear that, you know, for thousands of years prior to any kind of written revelation, God was communicating. So I think the importance of general revelation, of understanding God's role in reality in terms of what He has made, is very important as a foundation for a theistic and a Christian worldview. And that modern science, unfortunately, as it's formulated as a strictly naturalistic enterprise, takes that away from people in a way that really needs to be challenged. So I agree with you. The grander purpose for what we're doing is to reclaim physical reality, the stars, the planets, the cosmos, living things, all of that that God made for His glory. I never lose my enthusiasm for this because, to me, it's so central to the Christian worldview.
It's a live call-in program. Let's take a couple of calls. Sean, he's listening in Franklin, Tennessee, Sirius XM 131. You're on with Dr. Paul Nelson. Hi, Sean.
Thank you very much. I love always talking to you, Hank. And my question is that one of the most intelligent humans that ever lived, Albert Einstein, once said that all matter and all things were created by an energy that that's invisible, that we cannot see, but it is the thing that created matter and holds it together. And I was stunned to see that, in his letter that was just released to his daughter, that he identified this power as, believe it or not, love. And so it just stunned me because I know that Einstein denied the Bible and considered it a book of fairy tales, but yet he identified this great power that holds all things together, that it created all things, as love, and yet fails to associate it with a personality, which love has to be associated with a personality. Excuse me again. And I see this kind of thing all around, you know, where people are associating God with love, but they're not identifying it with Jesus Christ. And you know, so now we're on the level of like John Lennon, you know, where we're seeing that love is the answer, and then Einstein and all of his brilliance and intelligence and perception on his last day identifies this incredible equation as love, but doesn't associate it with Jesus Christ. And I'm just wondering that how does this happen in reality? I mean, how can people associate God as love and not identify it with a person and a servant, you know, according to the Bible?
Paul, how does someone as intelligent as Einstein, I suppose the question is, miss the main and the plain thing?
You know, it is a tragedy. What I find remarkable about Einstein is that he had mystical leanings. And in fact, in many of his writings, talks about the role of intuition and seeing realities behind the physical. In other words, believing in some kind of transcendent reality, yet he was loath to identify that with the God of the Bible because I think, like many of his generation, he soaked up very bad evolutionary reasoning as a young man and a European worldview in which the Bible was held in very low regard. But I take away from Einstein, I think, the positive message, challenge to a materialist philosophy of science, namely that to do good science, Einstein always stressed you need to go beyond the strictly physical. And so in other words, I take away the role of his mathematical insight and his belief in a reality beyond what we can see, while agreeing with the caller that there is a real tragedy. Love must belong to a personality. Love must issue from a personality, and that personality is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, yes, it's a tragedy, but take some heart from the fact that Einstein himself was not a strict materialist.
Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Fred. He's listening in Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Fred.
Hello. That last caller was a perfect segue for my question. My family, amateur scientists like myself, were under strong delusion and blinded, and I believe by God, because we don't want to know the truth, we can't see and understand these things. If I want to witness to them or just give them these DVDs to watch, how can I get past that first hurdle?
Well, I think if you see these films, the religious message is very muted. In fact, it's there in the sense that it's the theme of the film, but what really captures your attention is the biology. And the movies won't offend them. I mean, you know, I've shown them to secular audiences all over the country, in fact, all over the world. And the biology there is really what captures you and grips your vision. So I think it won't be that hard to get past the obstacle. Yes, there is a message about intelligence and about a creator behind reality, but it's not right there in your face. It's drawn out of the biology throughout the whole film.
And biologists, of course, have long marveled at the mysteries of animal migration. This is one of the features of this film. Smell, the Earth's magnetic field, are absolutely astounding from the standpoint of navigational systems that are used by salmon and sea turtles, but also in the other films, think about flight and birds, as well as metamorphosis and butterflies. It seems that they have comparable systems. And I guess the question that arises, a question that's answered in this film, of course, is that how many times can we realistically expect random changes at the genetic level coupled with unguided natural selection to come up with the same solution for birds, for sea turtles, for salmon, etc.?
No, it is amazing. It's, you know, one natural miracle, you know, a random process hitting on this remarkable navigation system would be astonishing. But to have it happen over and over and over in unrelated groups, I mean, how could you what unites butterflies and birds and sea turtles and salmon? This navigational system using the Earth's magnetic field. And I think that it's just miracles multiplied. And to say, well, natural selection did it over and over is really not to provide an explanation, especially when this navigational ability is vital to these different species, to their way of life.
And when you see a sea turtle and the oceans that they navigate, it seems to me that it just strains credulity to the breaking point to think that this is natural selection, just naturalistic processes in play.
No, I agree with you. And here's what really brings it home for me as a student of evolutionary theory. If you go to the scientific literature and look for the step-by-step explanation in terms of undirected mutations and selection, it's just not there. So the apparent creative power that's imputed to this mechanism really isn't borne out in terms of scientific publication. Really what happens is people just throw up their hands because of the complexity of the system. So I encourage students, you know, I say, take Richard Dawkins at his word. If he tells you that natural selection explains the origin of X or Y or Z, go to the scientific literature and try to find that. If it's known, if it's been worked out, it will have been published. And they come back to me and say, Dr. Nelson, it's just not there.
We're talking to Dr. Paul Nelson. Again, he's an adjunct professor in the MA program in Science and Religion at Biola University. He's a fellow at the Discovery Institute specializing in developmental biology and evolution and a primary contributor to this absolutely stunning work of art and cinematography, Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth is fascinating on so many different levels, but particularly fascinating because 70% of our planet is covered with water.
Yes, if you landed as an alien intelligence, just picked a spot on this planet, chances are it would be an ocean. You turn on your instruments and here comes a blue whale, or here comes a herd of dolphins cruising by, or you see an octopus. I just saw a clip today of an octopus capturing a crab. Those are amazing creatures. I mean, really, anywhere in the ocean that you begin to explore, you're going to see design.
Have some more questions for you. If you can stand by, we're going to go right to a break. Remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265, and to access Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. And you want to look not only at that, but flight and metamorphosis. You can find them on the web at equip.org. They're available for your gift. You can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. You can also write me, of course, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. This is an incredible treat. It is a feast to the eyes. It is a must get for your Christian apologetics library. Again, check it out on the web, equip.org. We'll be back with Dr. Paul Nelson in just a minute.
The likelihood of the astonishing intelligence manifested in nature arising from blind chance is simply preposterous. Did you know that a sea turtle possesses a biological system that allows it to navigate thousands of miles using Earth's magnetic field? Learn more about how sea turtle navigation and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the new film by Illustra Media. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history, but there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Drs. Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who'd use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a new film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are in the midst of a great evangelical recession. You think about the number of kids that are leaving the faith every single year, kids between 18 and 29 years of age. And the real sad story is not just that millions, and I'm not speaking with hyperbole here, are leaving, but many millions are not coming back either. And in the midst of this recession, it is so important that we have great apologetics tools. And that is precisely what Living Waters is. It's an absolutely stunning apologetic tool. And this, again, is not about winning arguments. It's about winning people. Every single person on the planet is going to spend an eternity either separated from the goodness and grace of God or united with that goodness and grace. Not only that, but during this life, if you have a relationship with Christ, you can live life that is life more abundantly, which is to say, you don't have to wait until you die to experience the designer. You can experience the designer in living color now. Again, all of these great reasons why Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth is available to you, not only to edify you yourself, you, your family, but to reach out to a lost and searching world. There's a reason Ladd Allen and his team put these things together. Obviously, the putting of it together is an artwork pleasing to the Lord in itself, but this is a vital resource, a tool, and don't let it sit on a shelf. Use it. You can access your copies on the web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Paul, talk a little bit about what I was just underscoring, the fact that apologetics and these tools are so necessary at this juncture in history when it seems as though we are in a profound recession.
I think that the rise of the so-called new atheism has a lot to do with this. And if you look at the prominent new atheists like Richard Dawkins, their primary claim to authority is science, which they identify with materialism. That would not have been a science recognizable to Isaac Newton, or even to Charles Darwin himself as a young man sailing on the Beagle. So we have a very distorted picture of science, namely that it can only appeal to undirected physical causes, that is pulling people in a direction that robs their life of meaning, that robs their life of purpose. If you are told you are the product of an undirected evolutionary process that did not have you in mind, that you are, you know, really rubbish of the universe in the sense of being produced by something that was entirely without purpose or plan, that robs your life of its meaning. It doesn't surprise me that many young people, in particular, come at life without a sense of any kind of cosmic role, any kind of destiny, any kind of purpose, because it's been taken away from them under the authority of science. So, Hank, I totally agree with you. Restoring to creation its status as creation, namely as the product of a rational intelligence, a loving rational intelligence, is so vital to giving meaning back to existence. And I agree with you. This is absolutely central to making sense of reality.
Maybe your comments on Dr. Alex Rosenberg. He is the R. Taylor Cole Professor and Chair of the Philosophy Department at Duke University. He's the co-director of the Duke Center for Philosophy of Biology. Lives in our neck of the woods in the East Coast in Durham, North Carolina, but he wrote a book called The Atheist Guide to Reality, Paul, and in that book he says there is no difference between right and wrong, good and bad. He goes on to say that anything is permissible, anything goes. Then he tells his students that history has no meaning and it has no purpose. In fact, his words, it is full of sound and fury, but ultimately it signifies nothing. So here you have a professor at a prestigious university telling his students that there's no free will, There's no difference between right and wrong. History has no meaning. That has to have an incredible impact on how those students end up living their lives.
Oh, listen, I agree with you. And I tell audiences, the very last person you want to live next door to is a fully consistent materialist. Because the point you just made, the very concept of right and wrong, if you give it a basis or you try to give it a basis in physical reality, goes to pieces. Atoms in the void, particles in motion, know nothing of right and wrong. These concepts that are so central to our existence, to having a properly functioning society, those concepts require a transcendent foundation. You can't derive them from ultimately physics alone. So the thing about Alex Rosenberg that I find kind of especially terrifying is he's radically consistent in his materialism. He follows it through to the ultimate consequence, which is there is no meaning. There is no right and wrong. And believe me, if I lived next door to Alex Rosenberg, I would hope that he would be inconsistent, you know, an inconsistent materialist, because it's only by defying his own materialism that he can do things like pay taxes and, you know, treat his family with respect and dignity and so forth. I've read his work for years, and there is a terrifying logic there that I hope his students don't take seriously.
But as you say, I mean, he really does bite the bullet. If you read through his materials, he is absolutely consistent with what he is saying in those sound bites I just articulated.
Oh, yeah. The consequences of materialism, if you take it seriously, for human life are terrifying, because things that we don't even, they're so deeply embedded in how we function, like right and wrong, or respect, or giving dignity to other human beings. Those realities that we know as certainly as we know our own name, they go away. Because materialism, really, what you're saying is there's nothing there. There's no mind there. There's no intelligence there. There's no transcendent foundations there. And in a framework like that, why not be Joseph Stalin if you can get away with it? So the consequences for human life of a consistent materialism, I find absolutely blood-chilling.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kate Everett, Washington, listening on KCIS. You're on with Dr. Paul Nelson. Hi.
Hi. Hey, thank you for calling or taking my call. And Dr. Nelson, I'm so glad to be able to ask you this question. A good friend of mine, who is also a Christian, believes very strongly in the idea that God allowed plants and animals the ability to adapt, especially after the flood, because, you know, certain animals would not have had their meat sources available to them, and certain plants would not have had enough mineral sustenance. So he allowed them to become meat-eating plants, such as Venus flytraps and things like that. But I think the idea of adaptation is just too close to the idea of evolution, and I would like your opinion on that.
Well, I think you need to separate what species do in response to environmental challenges, which is they do adapt. From macroevolution. So there's a qualitative distinction there that's worth thinking about. You can find plants growing near the opening to a mine where there are a lot of heavy metals that would kill other plants, yet the plants are thriving in that environment because they have responded, they have adapted to the presence of what would otherwise be a toxin in their environment. So There's case after case after case in biology of species adapting to local circumstances. God built the world in such a way that species would not go down at the first environmental challenge they faced. But that's very different. That's a built-in feature of a species. That's very different from saying the eye or the brain or the gut or the wing of a bird came about by an undirected evolutionary process. So I except, because there's plenty of evidence for it, the reality of what you could call adaptation. It's species responding to environmental challenges from macroevolution. So I agree with your friend that there is change in the environment where species, you know, they'll be confronted with something they've never seen before, and they have the resources to handle that, and the species will adapt. That's very, very different as a process from undirected Darwinian macroevolution.
Almost out of time. I just want to once again, Paul, express my deepest appreciation for your work. It's not just the richness of the information that you convey, but the tone with which you do it. It is just so, well, it's just wonderful and deeply appreciated.
Well, thank you. And I'll tell you a secret. It's a lot of fun.
I've been doing it for
30 years. I get up every morning looking forward to doing it. And I hope to come to see you when I'm in North Carolina later this year.
Well, yeah, and we'll have you on the show. And I'll take you out to dinner and whatever else I can do.
Thanks again for having me on.
You got it. Thanks so much for your work. And again, particularly in Living Waters, but also Metamorphosis and Flight. If you haven't seen all three in the trilogy or don't have the trilogy, make sure you get them. They're available on the web, equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Also, the Christian Research Journal. Great article in the journal that deals with a central tenet of the new atheism, which is that Christianity and reason are antithetical, and that throughout history, Christians have held back progress in science. The truth, of course, is very different because Christians actually laid the foundations for modern science. That and so much more in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, a subscription magazine. You can find it on the web, again, equip.org. You can also subscribe to the newsletter there and pray for us. Stand with us prayerfully and financially. Together, standing shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, we really do make a difference.
Thank you for joining us today. The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film in Alestra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank would like to send you Living Waters on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth.
But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.